Now we're holding on Mem Hei Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. I'm still talking about the topic of piguls, and now this and the next Mishnah are going to talk about, now that we've been spending the last about 20 blot talking about the dinim of it, so now let's talk about where it doesn't apply. So the Mishnah says, Kodesh Eved Chavim En Chayavin Aleim Shum Pigul Noser V'Tomim. Korbanos of Goyim. Now a Goy is allowed to, now there's two things with a Goy's korban. There's, he can bring it to our Beis Mikdash, and then he has to follow all rules as far as mumim and whatnot. What kinds of korbanos he can bring to our Beis Mikdash? It's machloikas, you know, in a few places in Shas, what korbanos he's allowed to bring exactly. Everybody agrees he can bring an Ola. Some say he can also bring a Shlomim. Rashi points out they definitely can't bring a chatas or an osham or maisa behema or any korbanos that have a fixed time. So that's one. Then you have that a goy can also bring a korban anywhere in the world he wants. Even nowadays, when there's no Beis Mikdash, he can bring a korban to Hashem anywhere he wants. Actually, later in the Masechta, there's an example of that with the Queen of Persia, who lived a couple hundred years after the korban, wants to have a korban brought on her behalf. So she sends an animal to Rava with instructions that she wants it brought as a korban, and Rava arranges for a couple of the halachas. We're not allowed to offer it for them. That would be shote chutz. That would be shechting a korban to Hashem outside the Beis Mikdash, which we're not allowed to do. But he arranged for a couple of goyish boys to bring the korban and sent one of his talmidim to instruct them how they should do it. That you're allowed to do. Here we're focusing on korbanos that goyim bring to our Beis Mikdash. So now we're saying that there's an ola and maybe a shlomim. So ein chayavan aleim shum pigul noser v'tomei. That a person is not chayav for them for pigul if it became pigul or noser or if the korban or the person is tomei. It's machlokas achronim, whether we mean that the concept of pigul doesn't apply to such korbanos at all, or does it mean pigul applies, but a person who eats from it would not be chayav kares. Divrei Reb Shimon. That's what Reb Shimon says. The different gusa it says on the side that some mishnayos have Reb Meir instead. Reb Yosi mechayev. Reb Yosi is mechayev. Now, what is he mechayev for? That also, there's discussion. Doesn't mean that he's mechayev in all of them, or that in fact pigul moser and tomei would apply to them, just like the korbanos of a yid. I skipped a few words in the Mishnah. In chayev another Mishnah pigul moser tomei v'ashoch them b'chutz poter divrei Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says if a person were to shech these korbanos of a goy outside the Beis Mikdash, then he would be poter from kares. Divrei Reb Shimon, Reb Yosi mechayev, Reb Yosi is mechayev. And here you have the question whether we mean that he's mechayev on all four things, pigul, noser, tomei, and offering it outside the Beis Mikdash, or maybe he means that he's mechayev only for shechting and offering it outside the Beis Mikdash. So again, the goy himself can do that outside the Beis Mikdash if he wants. We can't assist him. We can instruct him what to do, but we can't actually assist with it. In any case, what does that mean? Is Reb Yosi disagreeing on all four things, or is he disagreeing only on Rashi further on in the Gemara explains has Reb Yosi saying that the Gemara says over there that Reb Yosi says in all of these things I see to be machmer, and that would mean that it applies to all four things that we've said in the Mishnah. But then the Kesef Mishnah brings on the Rambam that maybe not, that Yesh Omerim, that it's only as far as Ashoch and Bachot, and the fact that the potter for Pigul Moser and Tomei would be a point to everybody. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, let's work out where we know these dinim that we said in the Mishnah. First of all, Kodesh Eved Kechavim, these korbanos that goyim bring to our Beis Mikdash, loynenin v'loy moylin. You're not allowed to have hanah from them. However, if a person did have hanah from them, he's not subject to the dinim of Me'ilah. Most of the time when we say loynenin v'loy moylin, we usually mean that it's drabbanon, that you're not allowed to have hanah from it, and that's how it is. The Gemara is going to, after the Gemara brings this braisa, we're going to go through it line by line, and we're going to explain that it means that midaraisa meila doesn't apply to it, but nevertheless midrabbanon they don't want you having hanah from it. The ein chayavin aleim mishum pigul noser v'tomei. A person is not chayav for them for pigul noser v'tomei, like we said in the Mishnah. Again, subject to that machloikas of achronim, whether we mean that a person is completely that pigul noser v'tomei are not even relevant to them. So the Tiferes Yisrael says that, for example, they don't become pigo at all, as opposed to the Minchas Chinuch says that no, all it means is the person is not chayiv koris for it, but the concept of pigo and the rest of them still apply to it. Anyway, continues the Braisa, other things as well. The Ein Osin Tmura, furthermore, a korban of a goy is not able to produce a tmura. We know you have the concept, the Torah tells us that if a person has an animal for a korban and he says, I want to exchange this one for a different one, the Torah says, you're not allowed to do that, and a person does that, he gets malchus, and v'hoyahu tmurasi yakodesh, the original animal, as well as the substitute, both are kodesh. That concept applies only to the that concept applies only to the korban of a yid, not to a goy's korban. An interesting question, actually, by the way, that Chaim Ozer brings up is what happens if the goy is donating a korban for a Jew to be miskatel with. So let's say for example, so you have a yid, let's say who's chayev and ola, and he can't afford it. So his goyish friend says, you know what? I'll give you one of my animals. I'll designate one of my animals as an ola, and then I'll send it to the Bais Hamikdash on your behalf. Is that also in this category of kodshei goyim or not? That's a different question. Onward, the enos and tmura, we said, so the animal cannot produce a tmura, as the Gemara is going to work out, line by line, each of these things that we have a limud from a pasuk that it applies only to korbanos of Jews. The ein mevi'in nisachim. Now they do not bring nisachim, an ola and a number of other korbanos have to have nisachim brought with them, but here they don't bring nisachim. Now Rashi explains that doesn't mean with the korban. Rashi explains that means that if a goy wants to bring the sochim by themselves, he can't bring them. A Jew could. Besides that, you have an ola and a shlomim and a couple of other korbanos come with nesachim, flour, wine, and oil. Besides that, a person can be menadiv to bring just the nesachim by themselves. But that's only a Jew. Rashi is saying a goy can't do that. He can only bring the korban, and then along with it would go the nesachim. Ava korbanon ton nesachim. However, their korban does require nesachim. So according to Rashi, in other words, the point is that they can't bring the nesachim by themselves. But if they're going to bring an ola, they're supposed to bring the nesachim along with it. There's a Mishnah in Shkolim actually that says that if a goy does not send that, he can't send the actual flour, wine, and oil. He'd make them tamei, but he can send along money which they would use to purchase the nesachim. If he doesn't, then there's a Mishnah in Shkolim that says that they would pay for it from the money of the tzibur, from the master shekel funds. There is further discussion about that among different mefoshim. There's two different gusois over here. You have the expression ve'ein mevi'in nesachim. They do not bring nesachim, which again Rashi is saying means they don't need to bring nesachim by themselves, but they can bring them with the korban. On the other hand, you have a different gemara in Tmura also brings this braisa and says the gus says over there ve'ein mevi'in aleihem nesachim, that they don't bring nesachim on behalf of the korbanos of a goy. But then the problem is that the braisa continues that their korban is requiring the sachim. So there are, so Rashi takes out the word aleihem over there, and in our Gemara it's not appearing at all. But the different other mefoshim, say that actually what it would mean is that they tak don't bring the nesachim, it means that the tzibur provides the nesachim. So now, if he sends along money, then fine, they bring the nesachim out of his money, but otherwise they bring a mishal tzibur. So those are various dinim that apply to korbanos of a goy. Dibur Reb Shimon. This is what Reb Shimon says. That Reb Akiva Eger and Gurion Hashas points out that actually there's points out from the Shittim Ukubetas has a tshuva on the subject where he says that actually accurate kisveyad don't have the words Dibur Reb Shimon, which would mean. And we had similarly in the Mishnah as well. When it said Divir Reb Shimon, there was a different gear, so there was Divir Reb Meir. Similarly, we hear in the Braisa, not necessarily is what this whole list that we just gave, specifically the opinion of Reb Shimon, it may represent the Chachamim in general. Anyway, the Braisa continues, Omer Reb Yossi, Royani, the Tulam Mahachmer, Reb Yossi says, I consider that we should be machmer by all those things. So we would say that. So again, maybe that means that pigul, nosu, and tomei apply to them. It would mean that tmura would apply to them, etc., etc. Shenema behem la Hashem, because after all, the pasuk says by a korban of a goy, it says the word la Hashem. We learn from a pasuk that says ish ish that any person can bring a korban ish ish. Yakub korbanah, etc., means that both a Jew and a goy can offer korbanas to Hashem in the Bais Hamikdash. And all of them are under the umbrella term Lashem, so therefore Rabbi Yossi says, so why should we say that all of these dinim shouldn't apply to them? The Pashtus, they should. Maybe all these dinim, maybe just some of these dinim. So Rabbi Yossi says we should in fact say that these dinim do apply to them. Okay. So the Braisa continues, but Medvar Mumim Kodshim is there. Now, when would that apply? This that we said that Me'ila doesn't apply, this that we're saying that Me'ila doesn't apply to the Korbanos of a Goy, that would be the Kodshim Mizbeach. That would be when we're talking about Kodshim that are offered on the Mizbeach. So again, a Goy sends an animal for an Ola, then you bring it as an Ola. However, if a person were to use that animal for his own purposes before it was Shechted, then he wouldn't be Chayav for Me'ila. But if a Goy sends something for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash, so it's not something that has kedushas aguf, only kedushas domin, moilin behen, then me'ila would apply to it, same as it would if a Jew had been makdashit. So that's according to Rashi. Tosfos has a discussion about this and says that this may actually be part of Rabbi Yossi's statement, that Rabbi Yossi is saying that when do we say lahachmer, that these things would make a tmura and that me'ila would apply, etc., would only be the kodesh mizbeach, as opposed to kodesh bet kabayis, since they don't have kedushas aguf, they only have kedushas damim, then Rabbi Yossi would be saying, I agree that whichever dinim are relevant to such things, to kodesh bet kabayis, would not apply in this case because they were sent in by a goy. So two different ways of understanding that. Whether we're saying lechumra or lechula, basically. Or the other way around, actually, Tosfos says that what it means is, according to the Chachamim in the beginning of the Braisa, whether it's Kodesh Mizbeach or Kodesh Bet Kabayis, either way, we would say that Me'ila doesn't apply if they were donated by a Goy, and Rabbi Yossi would be saying it, and Rabbi Yossi would be saying that it does. So thus far the Braisa. Now let's start analyzing it. Tosfos, by the way, wonders how come it is that the Braisa did not mention the fact that our Mishnah had said that if a person shechts them outside the Bismikdash, then according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, whether it's Rav Shimon or a mayor, then he'd be Potter, and according to Rav Yossi, he'd be Chayev, and vice versa. The Mishnah doesn't mention a bunch of things that are in the Braisa. Tosfos wonders why that is. Usually a Braisa would expand on the Mishnah, and it would include more things that were, and it would include more things that were in the Braisa. So the Keren Ora explains that basically when Rabbi Yossi says Royani b'kulam ha'achmer, I see that we should be machmer on all of them. Essentially, what he means is that we have to be machmer because of a suffix. So not all these things. When it comes to shoshet b'chutz, he said flat out in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi mechayev. So you can't have it in the category where he would say I think that we should be machmer, because there it's definitively that he says that he's machmer, and then vice versa. Then the Mishnah leaves out a bunch of things in the Braisa because he's saying that they're chayev in them only from suffering. So let's analyze the Braisa. Loy nenin v'loy moilin. When we said that the korbanos of a goy, then that you're not allowed to have anah from them, but they're not subject to the dinim of me'ila. Loy nenin midirabanan. The fact that you can't have anah from them is midirabanan. V'loy moilin. Why does me'ila not apply to them? Daraisa. The gama me'ila chet mitruma. Because of gzeira shava, where gzeira shava to learn about the dinim of me'ila on gzeira shava on the word chet that it says by truma by me'ila v'chota b'shgoga or by truma v'lo yisu all of chet, and with the truma k'siv b'nei yisrael v'lo ev l'kachavim, and by truma it says that it says the words b'nei yisrael v'yinozer mikodesh b'nei yisrael, which means that it applies only to Jews. Goyim do not give truma. So therefore we learn by zera shava that me'ila does not apply daraisa to korbanos of a goy either. We said a person is not chayav for it if the korban became pigol or noser or tomei. Again, does that mean that it can't become pigol, noser, or tomei at all? Or does it just mean that a person is not chayav, that person is not chayav koris if he does eat it under those conditions? Anyway, my time to osi pigol oven me noser. The reason is because we have a gzera shava on pigol, as we've learned a couple of times in our Masechta, that we learn it by gzera shava from the word ovin, which it says by Noser, and in turn, Va'asi Noser, Chilul, Chilul Mituma, and in turn, by Noser, we learn a Gzeira Shava on the word Chilul from Tuma, from the case where a person is Tomei and eats Kodshin, over Tuma Chsid, Bnei Yisrael, the lawyer of the Kachavim, and by Tuma, again, it says that it applies to Bnei Yisrael, meaning that it does not apply to Korbanos of Goyim. So by that chain, we learn, by that chain of Limudim, we learn that if a person eats the Korban, when he's Tomei, then if it was a Jew's carbon, he'd be Chayev Karis, but here where it's a Goy's carbon, then he's not Chayev Karis for that. Earlier in the Masechta, there was a point about, the Gemara had mentioned when the Pasuk mentions Bnei Yisrael over there, does it mean that the Pasuk mentions Bnei Yisrael in connection with Koyanim, in connection with a Zor not doing the Avodah? Where it said over there, what does that mean? Does it mean to exclude Goyim? The fact is, a Zor can't bring a Goy's Korban either, and Tosfos had a discussion over there that relates to our Gemara. What exactly are and aren't we excluding Goyim from in the case of, in this matter of Pigul Noser, of people Noser and Tomei. So that's why people Noser and Tomei don't apply to them, or at least that a person is not high of chorus for them. Next, the Ein Oisin Tzmura. We said that a korban of a goy is not able to produce a tzmura. Why not? My time of the itkash tzmura l'maisi behema. Because we have a hekish in the pasuk between tzmura and maisi behema. The pasuk describes that how you have to give maisi from your animals, and then it says he's not allowed to exchange it, and if it does, v'hoyahu tzmurasi yakodesh. So therefore, so there's a comparison between tzmura and maisi behema, or maisi behema itkash or maisi dogon. In turn, there's a hekish between Maisa Behema and Maisa Dogon, because the Pasuk says Aser to Aser, which refers to Maisa Behema and Maisa Dogon, and there are certain dinim that we learn across from one to the other because of that. So therefore, and Maisa Dogon, Ksiv Bnei Yisrael, and again, by Maisa of Grain and other crops, it says Bnei Yisrael, so again, the Veloy of the Kavim, then it means not Goyim. So Meiser of crops doesn't apply to Goyim. A Goy is not obligated to give Meiser from his crops. It's even a Machlokas in a number of places in Shas, whether if a Goy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, does that even take away the requirement to give Truma and Meiser from those crops? Or nevertheless, is it maybe when a Jew buys that produce, then he'd be chayev? That's a different matter, but the point is, the Goy himself doesn't give Truma and Meiser. Therefore, we learn from a Hekish to that, to Meiser Behema, and in turn, we learn from a Hekish from Meiser Behema to Tmura. So therefore, Tmura does not apply to the Korbanos of a Goy. So the Gemara says, wait, how can it be that you learn something from, that you learn one din from another by a hekesh, and then you're going to apply it to another din from there by a hekesh? In the next parak, we're going to have a sugya on that subject where we say, Gzeira Shavas, you can do that. And Gzeira Shavas, there's no problem doing that. And therefore, we have in the previous thing, we said that you can learn a Gzeira Shava from Tuma to Noser and from Noser to Pigol. But here we're talking about Hekeshim, and when it comes to a Hekesh, we're going to learn in the next parak that you can't do that. You can't have a chain of Hekeshim like that when it comes to Korbanos, uniquely by Korbanos, only by all other areas in the Torah, that wouldn't be a problem. But when it comes to Kodshim, we don't do that. So the answer is Maisa Dogon. Hold on, who the answer is. We're starting the chain with Maisa Dogon, which is Cholin, because it's not a Korban that you bring. From that, you're learning to Maisa Behema, which is a Korban, and from that, you're learning to Tmura, which also involves Korbanos. But that's not a problem, because only one of those Akashim is fully within the dinim of Korbanos. Well, in the next parak, when we have the sugya on the subject, there's going to be an opinion that says that, fine, when we say so you can't do lomid min alomid, that you go according to the original melamed. So then in that case, then fine. You have Maiser Dogon is fallen. From that, you're learning to Maiser Behema. So now you're entering into the rule of Kodshim. And then from there, you have one hekesh within Kodshim itself between Maiser Behema and Tmura, and that would be fine. But another way of looking at it is you have to consider, in that first hekesh, you're going into Kodshim, and that's already considered the first hekesh in Kodshim. because one end of it is in Kodshim, and then you have the second one within Kodshim, Ma'ikon Neymar, then what are you going to say? How are we going to learn that way that Tumura does not apply to Kobonis of Goyim? So the one answer is fine, you're right. Ella, rather, the answer is that Ma'is Behema is something that a person is obligated to bring, but not at any fixed time. And any korban, which is like that, which a person is obligated to bring and doesn't have a fixed time, then we have a general rule that only Jews bring such a korban and goyim do not, because goyim have, we have with the ribui in the Torah that they can bring is as far as nedarim and nedavis, because the pasuk we said before that says ish ki yakriv korbanai. The pasuk continues. So we see that it applies only to nedarim and nedavis. So therefore, they can't bring any chayva even if it doesn't have a fixed time. Rashi explains that means we don't mean that they could bring a chayva that does have a fixed time. Those they don't bring either, like an olas ri'ah or shami chagiga. We can't say as a blanket statement that they can't bring olas and shlomim, because they certainly can bring an ola, and according to some opinions they can bring a shlomim, but they can't. The rule is they can't bring any choiva, whether it has a fixed time or not. And ma'aseh behema is a choiva. So we're not learning that from a hekesh. We're learning directly that they don't bring ma'aseh behema, and therefore we only have one hekesh from there to tomorrow, and therefore we're fine. We can learn that, and therefore we can say that korbanos of goyim are not subject to tomorrow.
What is the rule of which korbanos can goyim bring?
So we said that later in the Masechta it talks about it. They can definitely bring an ola. It's machlokas whether they can bring a shlomim, but that's pretty much it. There is. Because that's we learn from this pasuk that they can only bring the nedarim or nedavos, so they can't bring a chatas or an asham or anything like that. They can't bring a chatas or an asham, and they can't bring any korban where there's a requirement to bring it at whether at a particular time. Oh,
supposedly,
the pasuk says ish ki yakriv korban lachol nedreim lachol nedvosam. The Gemara elsewhere explains that from ish we learn that both a Jew and a goy can bring korbanos, but since it says lachol nedreim lachol nedvosam, then it means it can only be the neder and a dava. Whether they can bring a shlomim is machlokas later on in the Masechta based on other limudim from Pesukim. An interesting point. Shamshon Rafal Hirsch makes a point in his Pirush on Chumash. On the other hand, we learned earlier in the Masechta that Yisrael Mumer cannot bring a korban. So we see in a way, like the Torah says, a goy gizun tehei. You may be an oved avodah zarah, you may be whatever, but at least you have a certain recognition. The kodalei lekodel akaya gizun tehei. Where Hashem is happy to accept your korban. Okay, we're going to learn on Amud Beis. It's not actually there's no ritzui over there. He doesn't become more acceptable to Hashem through it, but at least Hashem is saying I'm not going to reject your korban, as opposed to a yid is expected to be. Something higher. You can't just you're a yid. What are you doing? Being a mummer, as long as you are, Hashem doesn't want your korbanos.
Phenomenal points.
Yeah.
In other words, the goy is clearly an eved avodah zarah.
Yeah. And yeah, and that
can bring a
korban. Korban
because a yid, okay,
mummer. Yeah, because he went down from where he was supposed to be, basically. Yeah. Onward. The Gemara continues. The Ein Mevi'in Nesachim. We said that a goy does not bring Nesachim with his korban. Then does not bring Nesachim. Now again, Rashi had learned that Ein Mevi'in Nesachim means if they bring a korban, they bring Nesachim with it, but they don't bring Nesachim by themselves. Unlike a yid could bring Nesachim by themselves. Again, we talked about that. There's the possibility that it may mean that maybe a goy's korban that he does not bring Nesachim with his own korban, but rather the Sibur supplies them. So what does that mean? So Tanan Abanon, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says when it talks about Nesachim, it uses the word Ezrach. Ezrach means literally it means a native born Yid. So Ezrach may be Nesachim, it means also mentions over there, Gera has the same dink, Agerka Ezrach, but it means, we learn from that, Ezrach may be Nesachim, Vein Ovid Kachavim may be Nesachim. It means that a Yid brings Nesachim, a Goy does not. Yochol loy tehei elos et to'un nesachim. You would think that means
Eras gedra vayid in Ebya, you know?
Well, that's, we learn that from those psukim, because the pasuk says over there, kager ka ezra. Torah achas yolachem, kager ka ezrachi. Yeah, we learn, it says in those psukim, yeah. So why is it saying ezra then, if it means a ger anyway? It means as a miut, not a goy. So you would think then that if he sends an ola to the Beis Hamikdash, it doesn't require nesachim at all. No, because the pasuk says kol ezrach yasek kocha, and even though it says ezrach, the word kocha is a ribui, meaning that like that, an ola or a shlomim, whichever korbanos are supposed to be accompanied by nesachim, always have to be accompanied by nesachim. So again, according to Rashi, the vote would be the goy sends his korban based on a Mishnah and Shkot. Now, he can't send the actual flour, wine, and oil with the korban. He'd make them tummy. So, but if he said, but based on a Mishnah and Shkodim, if he sends money along for the Nesachim, then good, we use that money and we buy the Nesachim and bring them with it. Otherwise, the Takanas Chachamim, then in that case, we take money from the Tzibur, we take money from the Trumas Alishka and use it for that purpose. Again, if we say that it means that a Goy can't bring the Nesachim at all, then it would mean that always to begin with, we bring it from the money of the Tzibur and we don't, Mefoshim deal with how exactly according to that opinion, how we understand the Mishnah and Shkodim, but in any case, the point is, the Goy's Korban does have to be accompanied by Nesachim. Just he himself doesn't bring them. And according to Rashi, the verdict is that he doesn't bring the Nesachim by themselves. Okay. Now that we went through that whole list in the Braisa of things that do not apply to the Korban of a Goy, so, Amar Rabbi Yossi, said Rabbi Yossi, said in the Braisa, Royani b'kolon l'hachmir. I see that we should be machmir by all of them. So that all these dinim should indeed apply to korbanos of a goy. We talked about before whether he actually means all the dinim or maybe only some of them. Anyway, the Braisa had continued, when does that apply? Only by kodshim mizbeach, where the Braisa had said one of the things is that me'ilah does not apply to them, so that would only be that kodshim mizbeach, but the Braisa had said kodshim betekabayis, even though they were donated by a goy, me'ilah would apply to them. So again, according to Rashi, this is continuing from the Tanakhama, and according to one impossible answer in Tosfos, this is continuing from Rabbi Yosef's statement. So the Gemara says, my timer. Why does Reb Shimon hold that Me'ilah should not apply to Korbanos of a Goy, Kodshim Mizbeach, but they should apply to Kodshim Betekabayis, things that have Kedushas Domim that he donated for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash? So the answer is Kasava, Ki Gomer Me'ilah, Chet Mitrumia, Dumia de Truma. Because you know what? What did we say before? Why does Me'ilah not apply to the Korban of a Goy? We said because we learned Zeta Shova on the word Chet from Truma. And Truma, we said, applies only to a Jew because a Goy doesn't give Truma. Well, Dumya de Truma. Well, then it has to be in that case, similar to Truma. De Kadisha Kedusha Tagruf. Truma has Kedusha Tagruf. It has intrinsic Kedusha. So this Zeta Shava would tell you that you can't be poided after all, for example. So therefore we would learn that anything that has Kedusha Tagruf, since the Pasuk says by Truma B'nei Yisrael, then we have a miyot that does not apply to the Truma of a Goy and therefore doesn't apply to Korbanos of a Goy either when it comes to Me'ilah. Aba Kedushas Bet HaKabayis, Kedushas Domim, but when it comes to something that was given to the Bet HaKabayis, it's not like Truma in that regard, because only Kedushas Domim. Loi, so therefore no, so then there's no reason to have a miyot, and we would say that Me'ilah would apply to them. Says Reb Shimon. Okay. It's fine. So that goes through that list of things that we said that don't apply to Korbanos of Goyim, or that do apply, according to the different opinions. So now another braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Dam Shen Nitma, if the blood of a korban becomes tamei, the zorkei, and then a person, and then the korban sprinkled on the mizbeach anyway, the shogig hurtza, if he does it, if it was b'shogig, then the korban is acceptable. The mazid, lo hurtza, if it was b'mazid, then the korban is not acceptable. That's what Rashi explains, based on other Gemaras, is a knas midrabbanan. So it's not, so in other words, what happens is the korban works, the owner was an escaper, but the you can't eat the meat. Elsewhere, the Gemara discusses what it means, b'shoigig and b'mezid. Doesn't mean that it became tomei, b'shoigig or b'mezid, or doesn't mean that it was sprinkled, b'shoigig or b'mezid. Anyway, the Braisa continues, b'med ramon b'yachid, when would that apply to a korban of a yachid? Abel b'tzibur, but if it's a korban tzibur, then b'shoigig, then b'mezid hurtza, whether it was done b'shoigig or whether it became tomei, b'shoigig or b'mezid, then the korban is acceptable, because then you have the tzitz, takes care of that. However, if the korban belongs to a goy, then whether it was b'shoigig or b'mezid, the korban is not acceptable at all.
Tom, you're a historian. There was a lot of goyimish to bring korbanos.
I don't know if a lot, but there were. You do find. First of all, you know, we know that they had signs in the Beis Hamikdash warning goyim you can't come beyond a certain point. So they actually found a couple of those signs in archaeological digs 150 or so years ago. So apparently there were enough goyim coming there that they had that was necessary. That sign. Up until the Sodeg. That's why when we say in Mishnayos Midas that the Greeks made 13 breaches in the Sodeg, one reason was because they were angry about that. We're not allowed to go past there. We're going to show you Jews and we're going to show Hashem that we don't care about that. We're going to break through. The Sodeg, which surrounds the Chil, which is a 10-amah wide area outside the Azara. So they can go up until that point. They can go in the rest of the Halabayas. But aside from that,
they basically don't get into the Bishlam India.
They don't get any closer than that. They said they can watch from the Bishlam
India. They bring a korban and drop it off there.
Basically, yeah. Or they have a yid bring it in for them, whatever. Yeah. But aside, we certainly do find. Let's put it this way: we certainly do find that they would bring korbanos on once the Romans conquered Eretz Yisrael. Then we know from historical sources they brought korbanos on their behalf. First of all, we have the story in the Gemara with the emperor sending over there with Kamsa bar Kamsa sending a korban over there. That was a one-off thing. But we find in Josephus that they were regularly offering korbanos on behalf of the emperors. He mentions, I think, that all the way back to Julius Caesar, he was sending korbanos to the Bismikdash. Yeah. But Pashtus, there were individual Goyim who also did, yeah. Okay, onward. So we're saying...
Do you think of the Venerate for the Shul to the Goyim?
No, who cares out?
No,
not that I know of. It says they brought out the Shulchan on the Shalosh Regalim, and they would show it to the Oleh Regel to show how precious we Jewish people are to Hashem, that he makes a special nest that the Lechem upon him stays fresh there for a week.
Do you think of the Venerate?
Not that I'm familiar with. Yeah. Okay. I don't know, not familiar with it. No, the reason why, he was thinking maybe of the Arch of Titus, so that was when the Bismikdash was
smashed. No, that doesn't mean that.
So fine. So we have a Braisa that says that when it comes to, again, if the blood became Tomei, so with a korban of a year, it depends whether it's Yochid or Tzibur and whether B'shar Yub Amazin, but when it comes to a Goy, we're saying Loy Hurza. Amru Rabbanan Kamezer Papa. Now the Chachamim told over this Braisa to Rav Papa, and they said, Kiman, now which opinion of the opinions we just said about what applies and doesn't apply to Korbanos of Goyim, which opinion would this be like? Apparently, Deloike Rav Yossi. Apparently, this Braisa cannot be like Rav Yossi. Di Rav Yossi, Homer Bekolan and Eiroi Lahachner. Rav Yossi says that I see, that I consider that with all these things, we should be Machmir. Well, then in that case, then, in other words, he equates as much as possible the Korbanos of a Goy to the Korbanos of a Yid. So why should we have this distinction that if a blood was sprinkled Beshoigig, whereby a Yid's Korban was saying it's Hurza, why shouldn't it be like that by a Goy's Korban as well, according to Rav Yossi? So it must be this Braisa is not according to Rav Yossi. Omalahu Rav Papa, but Rav Papa says to them, no, I feel the same Rav Yossi. You could even say that this Braisa is according to Rav Yossi. Shiny Hostam, the reason is why, if the blood becomes Tomei and it's sprinkled, why the korban is not acceptable. Because what makes it that the korban will be acceptable when the blood was Tomei is the fact that the Kohen Gadol has a tzitz. Machlokas in a few places in Shas, whether it's Dapka when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz or just the fact that the tzitz exists. Whatever. The Pasuk says that the tzitz accomplishes lahem. It says l'rotzen lahem. It accomplishes that the korban is acceptable for them. And lahem means v'lo lo'ev k'chavim, means not for goyim. So therefore, so the tzitz is not able to make the goy's korban acceptable where there's something wrong with it, as in this case where the blood was Tomei. But then Rav Huna Breder of Nosson asks, Elamaata, by that logic, if you're going to say that the word Lahem is a mute, Asher Heim Makdishim, what about the Pasuk that we quoted on Amud Aleph that says, not that Pasuk, but a different Pasuk that says that the Kohenim have to stay away from the Kohenim, that the Kohenim have to stay away from the Kodshim and not desecrate them when they're Tomei. We learned in the second parak that that a Zor makes the Korbanos, it makes the Korbanos possible if he offers them. They also, you have Asher Heim Makdishim, Hochinami Heim Velo Ev Chavim. You're going to say the same thing, it means them and not Goyim. You're going to say that it means that a Zor or a Kohen who's Tomei is allowed to bring a Goy's Korbanos? No. So their Heim is not a mute. Why should Lahem be a mute over here? So the answer is you're right. Ella Omer Ravashi. No, Ravashi says the reason Omakra, because the pasuk says Lurotzin Lahem. No, because it's true. Not because of the mute from the word Lahem, but because the pasuk says Lurotzin Lahem, that they should be acceptable before Hashem. Goyim are not bnei ritzu. Hashem is not mitzvah. Hashem does not find them acceptable. Fine, they bring a korban. Hashem is not going to reject their korban, but Hashem doesn't have a rotzen, which a good rotzen towards them, and therefore you can't say that the pasuk l'rotzen lahem can't be referring to them. It refers dafka to Jews. An interesting point from Ravel Brisker Lomdus that talks about it, that in other words, the Gemara had assumed that maybe there's a difference in the geder of a Jew's korban versus a goy's korban, and we're saying it's not so much the difference in the geder of the korban, but there's a difference in the person who's bringing it, and therefore that makes a that results in a difference whether the korban is acceptable or not when the blood became Tomei.
What would be the geder?
The vort would be, in other words, like this: the Gemara had assumed that the Gemara, the Chachamim who talked to the Papa assumed that it depends. Maybe the Kedusha of a Goy's Korban has a different level of Kedusha than the Korban of a Jew. So therefore they thought, Rabbi Yossi is saying, Royani Bekulam Lahachmir, means that he says that they have the same Kedusha, so therefore why shouldn't Tzitz apply to it as well? So Rav Ashi is answering them that no, that Tzitz doesn't depend on the Kedusha of the Korban, it depends on the owners of the Korban. So as much as Rabbi Yossi may say that the Kedusha of a Goy's Korban is equal to that of the Kedusha of a Yid's Korban, and therefore all the dinim that we talked about, or at least many of the dinim that we talked about on Amud Aleph, will apply to it, but this concept of Ritzuit Tzitz, that the Tzitz should make a Korban that otherwise would have been unacceptable, that makes it acceptable and makes the person bavilicht and desired and wanted by Hashem, that applies only to us Jews. Mishnah says, here, now that we talked about in the previous Mishnah, whose korbanos pigul doesn't apply to, let's now talk about what things of korbanos pigul doesn't apply to. Dvarim she'en chayavan aleim mishum pigul. Now, we had a previous Mishnah earlier in our perek that listed a number of things where pigul doesn't apply to them. For example, we said the koymets of a mincha.
Am I joining the marshes?
Yeah, please.
Are you on a little?
Or are you joining the chitzel?
We'll be another few minutes. And then, So in the previous Mishnah, we listed a number of things that pigul doesn't apply to them. For example, we said the koymets of a mincha. If a person were to eat the if a mincha became pigul and a person were to eat the koymets, he's not chayav paris for it. And the Mishnah had given there a number of other examples. So now our Mishnah says, dvarim she'en chayavan aleim mishum pigul, even those things for which a person is not chayav for pigul, as we talked about over there, chayavan aleim mishum noisur mishum tameh. However, if a person eats them when they're noisur or when he's tameh, then he's still going to be chayav. He's still going to be chayav the usual things, paris for mazid and a chatas for shaking. Chutz min adam, with the exception of the blood of the korban, except for the blood, if he eats that when he's tome or when it's noiser, then he may be chayav koris for blood, but he's not chayav for noiser or for pigul, or for noiser or for tome. Reb Shimon v'chayev b'dover shadarkan lechol. Reb Shimon though says a person is chayav koris only for something which is normally eaten. So that would mean, even if it's something where in this particular korban, it's meant to be burnt, for example, the koymets or the minchas koyim, etc., but it is something normally eaten, sort of Shimon would agree that a person is chayev for eating it then when it's noiser or tummy. Avala eitzim, but when it comes to, in the Mishnah earlier, we had a list of things to which pigul doesn't apply. Avala eitzim, but wood, valavoina, and lavoina that's brought with a mincha, vakturus, ein chayav and olamashom tuma, a person would not be chayav if he ate them when he's tummy, because those are not things, Reb Shimon says those are not things that are roi lachila. So the Gemara starts off Tanan Rabbanan, and so let's work out the source for the dinim in our Mishnah. Yochol loyu chayovin mishum tuma el al davar sheyesh lematurin bein la'odem bein lamizbeach. Now earlier we talked about that pigul applies only to a korban that has maturin. That's why we said, for example, a minchas koyanim, to give one example, is something which has no maturin because the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach, and therefore pigul we said doesn't apply to it. You would think that when it comes to tuma, says this Braisa, that when the person is tummy, you would think he's chayav only on things that have that have matirin, whether for a person eating or whether for the mizbeach eating, meaning that with the same idea, that's for example that the, therefore that, that if a person were to eat a minchas koyin and when he's tummy, he wouldn't be chayav. And you would think to say as follows, v'din hu, you would think to learn this from a kavah chomer, uma pigul shuv kviya. First of all, pigul is a person, if a person eats pigul, he's chayav a regular fixed chatas, as opposed to when he eats kodesh and betumah, where then you have a korban over the yerid, he's given a financial break. If he can't afford the more expensive korban, then he brings a cheaper one. So pigul is stronger in that it always has a fixed korban, whether he's poor or rich, if he did it b'shogeg. Uv'yedia achas, and it's also more stringent, all you need, like with most averis, is the person knows that he did the avera. As opposed to Tumas Mifta Shekodshav, where as we're gonna mention in a minute, and as we learned back in the Masechta Shavuos, when it comes to being chayav a korban for Tumas Mifta Shekodshav, there has to be two yediyas, that he knew to begin with that he was tomei, and then forgot that he was tomei, and then and entered the Bais Hamikdash or whatever, and then in this case ate korbanos, and then forgot again, or then remembered again that he was tomei and he had done something wrong. Only then did he bring the korban. But by pigul, you don't need that. You just need that he ate pigul, and afterwards he realized that it was pigul. And there's never any exception. There's never a case when it is allowed to eat pickle. And yet, we know with pickle, as we've talked about so far, that a person is chayiv only if the korban has some kind of matir. So again, for example, not the minchas koyanim and the other examples that we had over there. Then we would think to make a kavah chomer. Tuma, when it comes to eating korbanos, when a person is tamei, which is much more lenient in a number of these ways. First of all, a person, if he does that, brings only a korban ol v'yored. So therefore, so if he can't afford the more expensive korban, he brings a cheaper one. Over shtei yedias, to be chayav for a korban for tuma, for eating kodshim for tuma, there has to be two yedias, as we learned in Shavuos, that you have to have. He has to know to begin with that he was tamei, and then he forgot that he was tamei and ate the kodshim, and then remember it again. So he has that. Vahutra miklala, and you do have an exception because you have a case in particular when it comes to the korban pesach, where normally now there are a number of korban in general. Korban sibur can be brought the tumah, but most of them can't be eaten the tumah. The korban pesach is an exception where even the people are tameh, they can still they can still eat it because the whole purpose of the korban pesach is to be eaten. So given all of that. Wouldn't it be then a kavah chomer to say that the concept of eating kodshim betumah would apply only to a korban that has matirin? So Talmud Lomar, because of that, the Torah has to foresaw that by telling us a pasuk asher hem makdishim li, where the pasuk says that they are makdish to me, which is talking about in connection with the nozru mikodshim b'nei Yisrael, that the kohenim have to stay away from the kodshim when they're tamei and not be makriv them and not eat them. And we see that it says asher hem makdishim, that they are makdish, so therefore it includes everything. Well, yochol miyad. Now you would think that applies right away. In other words, right away as soon as he even touches it. So Talmud Lomar, Yifrav. Miyad means after. When does this Isser take effect? When the korban becomes mutter to eat or to be makrif? Meaning, in other words, it doesn't apply before it doesn't apply, for example, before the blood is sprinkled. So you would think miyad, that right away when the korban was designated, a person would right away be chayev. Let's say he went and shechted it and ate it as regular meat. You would think that right away he'd be chayef because he's tamei. So Talmud Lomar yikrav. Therefore, the pasuk says if he comes close to do the avodah or to eat the kodshim, then he gets kares. Omer Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, what does yikrav mean? The word yikrav can also mean that if he touches it. But v'chi yesh negeah shu chayev. Since when is a person chayev kares for touching? You never find that a person is chayev kares for touching something. So what does that word yikrav mean? The pasuk is only talking about once the korban is able to be brought as a korban, or able to be eaten. So if a person is makriv kodshim and then he eats them, when he's tamei, then he gets kodesh, and if he does it b'shogeg, then he brings a korban under the proper conditions, then he brings a korban over the yarden. Hakeitzad, so Rabbi Elazar explains, what does that mean? Yesh le matirin, so it's not going to be limited only to a korban that has matirin, like pigle is. It's going to apply even to a korban that does not have matirin, but it's going to work like this. Yesh le matirin, if it has matirin, for example, a regular korban where the matir is the blood, then mishi yikruv matirin. Then once the matirin have been offered, once the blood has been sprinkled on the mizbeach, and then a person is chayav kares now if he eats that korban b'tumah. Aimly matirin, if the korban does not have matirin, then mishi yikdash the kli, as soon as it's placed into a kli shares, then now it's available for the purpose that it's going to be used for. For example, mitfas koyanim is placed in a kli shares. There's no koymits from it, so there's no matir. You just go and burn the whole thing on the mizbeach, but it can be burnt on the mizbeach as soon as it's placed in the kli shares. So therefore, that would, at that point, then a person would be chayav kares for eating it when he's tamei. So that's where we learn. So from this price that we learn, therefore, that the din of eating kodshim when a person is tamei, And we're going to talk about in a second about Noser. We see from that that Tumah applies even to things that do not have Matirin. So that leads us to the din of our Mishnah, that even things such as the Koimetz or Minchas Koinim or whatever for which a person is not Chayev for eating them as Pigel, he is going to be Chayev, he's going to be Chayev for eating them if he's Tameh, based on this Limud from this Braisa. Okay, the Gemara says, Ashbacham Tumah, fine, so that tells us that if he's Tomei, then no, those didn't apply. Noser Menolan, how do we know that Noser also applies whether the Korban has Matirin or not? The answer is also Chilul, Chilul Mitumah, because we have Xerah Shavah on the word Chilul from Tumah. Where, by, you have this pasuk be nozru mikodshim bnei Yisrael that was saying that the Kohenim have to stay away from the kodshim when they're tamei, uses the word v'lo yachalulu ashem kodshi, they should not desecrate my holy name, and then by truma also you have so that's when a person is tamei that he can't eat, and when it comes to nozru also you have kias kodesh hashem chilul, so therefore you have zayda shava, and therefore the same din apply to both of them. So I'm going to ask, yeah, but why are we learning Noser from Tumah. Instead, the Leilach oven with people. Instead, why don't we learn the dinim of when Noser applies from Pigul instead? And then we would say that it applies only when Yesh Lematirin. So we have, on the one hand, we have Tumah, where we're saying, based on the previous Braisa, that we learn that it applies across the board to all Korbanos. Then we have Pigul, where we said it applies only to Dovash Yesh Lematirin. Now we have Noser, we're trying to figure out where we're learning it from. You're going to learn from one Gzeda Shava from Tumah, why not learn instead from a different Gzeda Shava from Pigul and say that it applies only to a Korban, Yesh Lematirin? And the result would be that, for example, if a person ate a Minchas Koyanim or whichever other examples that we had, when they're Noser, then he would not be Chayiv Kardes for it. The Shittim Kubetis points out that the Gemara sometimes mentions a concept called Kula B'chumra L'chumra Machshinan. When we have a choice of a Hekish between, in this case, a Gzeira Shava, between one thing and the other, where one will result in a Kula and the other results in a Chumra, then we always go L'chumra. So here, then, yeah, that should be the answer then, that we learn from Tumah, because then that way it'll be more Machshin. So one point is the Gemara could have answered that, but the Gemara is gonna give a different answer. And then another point that's made on it is maybe that applies only that because why would we say that suffered derais of the chumra? But we can't say that as far as punishments. You were talking about whether he's chayav kares or not. So that would be another reason why the Gemara is entertaining the possibility that we should learn from Pigul to Noser, and then the result is that Noser would be limited in its scope. So the answer is Misabra Mitumah Havle Lamela. It's logical to learn Noser from Tumah Shekain Gezel Simen, because we have three things in which Noser and eating Kodshim when a person is Tomei have in common. The Simen is the word Gezel. The Gimel stands for Guf. Both of them are something that apply to the Guf of the Korban itself, as opposed to the actual Korban was left over. The actual Korban, or not the Guf of the Korban, the Guf of either the Korban or the person. Pigul is only machshava. Pigul takes effect only with a thought, as opposed to noser is the actual meat of the korban was left over, and tumah is the actual person's body is tamei. So that's this gimel. Zion is zrita. That noser and tumah, the iser is not. The iser was not caused by the sprinkling of the blood. Noser is, yeah, blood was sprinkled, but then the what made it noser was that it was left over beyond the deadline. In the case of tumah, again, it's not that it has to be, as you said before, a person is chayav kares only if the blood was sprinkled, but what makes him unable to eat it is not that, it's rather the fact that he's tamei. As opposed to pigul, as we've been learning in the last couple of weeks, pigul takes effect only once the zrika is done. Until then, the korban is not pigul. So that's the Zion. The Lamed stands for Chilul, that we have this Zera Shava on the word Chilul. So the Lamed stands for the Lamed of Chilul. Sometimes the Gemara will do that. In a simon like that, it won't use the first letter. It'll use a different letter within the word. Anyway, so that's the similarity. So we have three similarities between Noser and Tumah that make it logical that we should learn from one to the other. That's the point of Rashi. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hananel another explanation that the Lamed stands for the word kuloi, namely that pigul applies to the entire korban, as opposed to Noser and Tumah apply only to whichever parts are left over or whichever parts the person is going to eat. So therefore that's another similarity. That's another similarity between them that's different from pigul. Anyway, so you have three similarities. So therefore, we have a reason to learn noser from Tuma, and to say therefore that the scope of the din of noser is the same as that of Tuma, namely that it applies to all korbanos and not just davar sheyesh davar sheyesh lematirin. Okay. The Gemara says, Adiraman, Pigul have le lemela. On the other hand, you could argue you have more reason to learn from Pigul. Chicane, because you have similarities between Pigul and Noser as well. And in fact, you have even more similarities. Chicane, Huter, Sitz, Tahar, Bizman, Korev. You have five similarities between them. Huter, namely, like we said before, Noser and Pigul, there's never any exception. You can never eat Noser, you can never eat Pigul, as opposed to when a person is Tomei, where, as we said before, that Tumah Hutter of the Chuyav of Sibur, the Koyanim can do the Avoda when it comes to a Korban Sibur when they're Tomei, and as far as eating, we said before, the Korban Pesach can be eaten the Tumah, so therefore you have an exception to Tumah that you don't have by Pigul and Noser. Number two, Tzitz. That the Tzitz is only affected by Tumah, like we talked about at the top of the Amud, is whether now, it's not effective, to be sure, Rashi points out, it's not effective when the person is Tomei, Tzitz is only effective when the korban is Tomei, but at least you have some kind of Tuma which is taken care of by the Tzitz. As opposed to Noser and Pigul are never taken care of by the Tzitz. If a korban is Noser or Pigul, then having the Tzitz doesn't help and make them mutter. So that's the second similarity. Tahar, the third thing is, that Pigul and Noser apply to people who are Tahar, whereas Tuma obviously is something different, where the person is Tomei. The fourth thing, Bizman, both of them are time-related things. Noser is the korban was actually left over beyond the deadline. Pigul, as we've been talking about all along, is where he has thought of doing something with the korban, sprinkling the blood, or burning the emurim, or eating the meat beyond the proper time, so both of them have to do with time. And the fifth thing, Korev, that with Noser and Pigul, both of them, the psul is in the item which is being brought as a korban, as opposed to Tumah applies to the person. And Bahanach Nefishon, and Bahani Nefishon, and this is more, this is five against three. So if we have a choice, so we're back to the question, if we have a choice, where we're going to learn Noser from, whether the scope of it is like Tumah, that it applies to all korbanos, or like Pigul, that it applies only to Yavar Sheyesh LaMatirin, why are we learning from Tumah, and say that it applies across the board, rather than learning from Pigul, where it has so many similarities with Pigul, even more than it does with Tumah? So the Gemara says, you're right. Based on that logic, you would have said that we learn Noser from Pigul. But rather, Ella Midatoni Levi, rather the reason why instead we learn Noser from Tumah, and therefore that it applies across the board, is based on a braisa that Levi taught. The Toni Levi, I mean, Nayin Sha'afra Psul's Ma'an HaKosim Adaver, how do we know? Now, the Pasuk is talking, the Pasuk of Inozru, the Kodshim B'nai Yisrael, that says that the Kohenim have to stay away from the Kodshim when they're Tomei. Now, that's talking about when they're Tomei. Minayin Sha'afra Psul's Ma'an HaKosim Adaver, how do we know the Pasuk is also referring to a Psul that came as a result of being left beyond the time, which is Noser? Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk says, V'leichalu, as Kodshim in Yisrael, the Pasuk says they should not desecrate the Kodshim. Now the actual Pasuk says, V'leichalu, as shame Kodshim. Anyway, the point is, so B'shnei Chilul and HaKosim Adavim. So the word Yichalu, we understand, is referring to two types of desecration. Because otherwise it could have said, so Rashi explains actually the limud is, because it doesn't say it says it doesn't say the nozru no so that that because it doesn't say v'lo yachelu. So the gilus that we have in front of us in Rashi is because it doesn't say the nozru v'lo yachalu, but it does. So on the side over here, it's supposed to be Shittim Kubetzes says that it's supposed to be and Birkas Hazevah say that it's supposed to be yachelu. It could have said yachelu with one lamed, and therefore we learn there's only one type of chilul. But now that it says yachalilu with two lameds, then we learn b'shnei chilul and akosim adaber. The pasuk is referring to two types of desecration. So they are echad psul noser v'echad psul tuma. One where the korban is noser, and we do find the word chilul used by noser. He has kodesh Hashem chilul, and the other one is referring to tuma, which is what the pasuk is talking about. So therefore, so we're saying that the pasuk is equating them, meaning therefore, and then it says asher hein makdishin. We said before asher hein makdishin means all the korbanos. So there we go. Then so noser does in fact apply to all the not noser. It says the noser does in fact apply to all the korbanos. And therefore, so it's on that basis. So even though, yes, it would have been more logical to learn it from Pigel and say that it applies only to certain carbonas based on the list of similarities that we said before, but nonetheless, in the end, we're saying that we're learning from this lo yichalalu that in fact it applies to both of them. Tosfos here refers back to something that we mentioned before of Tosfos earlier in the Masechta about that we were talking before about the korbanos of goyim, and he said that we needed the gzeira shava to say. We need this gzeira shava on the word chilul to say that the concept of noiser does not apply to goyim's korbanos. Again, maybe that noiser doesn't apply at all, or maybe that at least that a person eats it when it's noiser, he's not chayav kares, based on what we're saying over here. The same pasuk refers to tumah and noiser, and therefore we don't need the gzeira shava at all. So Tosfos refers over here to a discussion of those earlier in the Masechta on this point, the Tosfos on Tesavov and Beis, that discusses this point in more detail. What exactly are we including and what are we excluding when it comes to Korbanos of Goyim? As we said before, we certainly can't say, for example, that Koyim is Tomei or Zor should be able to do the Avodas of the Korban of a Goyim, of a Goy. So necessarily we have to say that there were certain things in that Pasuk that implies would apply to the korban, but not necessarily all of them, and therefore we need that zeta shava before to therefore we need the zeta shava on the word chilul to say that nevertheless the concept of noiser does not apply to the korbanos of goyim, even though certain other details that we learn from that pasuk do. Okay.